Today I want to talk about contentment. So the way I define contentment is that experience of satisfaction with what we have and what we are. It's basically that sense of ease, E-A-S-E, ease, that sense of ease with what is, I-S. Did you get that? Sense of ease with what is. That's what I call contentment. What is your definition?
The word for happy in Spanish is contento.
Interesting. Contento. Very nice. Stephanie?
I would say it's the lack of yearning.
Lack of yearning.
And desire.
And desire.
And attachment.
And attachment.
And it is the knowingness of peace.
Knowingness of peace.
Nice. Or being peace.
Being at peace. Like I was saying, ease.
Mm-hmm.
Ease with what is.
Ease.
That's peace.
Yeah.
After contentment, there is no reaction, there is no
mm-hmm.
attachment,
mm-hmm.
there is freedom.
Mm-hmm. Freedom, I like that.
If we take the past away and the future away and just think about present, that is contentment.
You're relating contentment with
time,
the present, being in the present, like what is, right? Great. There is always this spectrum of attitude from craving to complacency, right? Our attitude on the extreme left is like desire, wanting all, more and more, right? Craving, right? Then there is this attitude of complacency, which is not wanting anything, no desire, no action, right? In my opinion, both are the extremes that should be avoided. The middle way, that balanced attitude, is contentment. So neither craving nor being complacent, but being content. That attitude where we don't strive for more and more of the same thing, but try to go higher and higher. You see? So not wanting more and more of the same thing, but wishing to go higher and higher. That kind of attitude I call contentment. Because if we start thinking that I don't have to do anything, that no desire, no wishes, or not having any goals or aspirations, or not striving for excellence, that would not be the attitude of contentment. So contentment doesn't mean no desire. It means non-desire. See? When we are content, we stop accumulating and start arising. You see? If you have $1 million, if you're not content, then you want 2 million, 3 million, right? Wanting more and more of the same thing, you know? But if you are content with $1 million, then you would strive for artistic talents, social involvement.
Or the school or hospitals and...
Right. You will go higher, will strive for... That is contentment, you know? Same thing, you know, like house, for example. If all your needs are met in a small house, instead of now going for a bigger house, and then a bigger house, bigger and bigger, we all can relate to that in some way. Being content with what space you have for living, and then going higher, you know. Getting involved socially and spiritually and philanthropically, so on and so forth. Now, doesn't mean if you are living in a single bedroom house, doesn't mean you should not go for a two bedroom or three bedroom house. I don't mean that. Go for a bigger house with a sense of contentment, then you will have a different intent, a different set of attitude towards it. You will have a three-bedroom house because you want an experiment room for your kids, where you can set up their microscope and their telescope and their biology and chemistry room. You want another room for meditation, maybe, you see? Another room for a community spiritual gathering. See, that's a different kind of going higher from one bedroom to three bedroom. Rather than, oh no, I want more space, you know, I want more. It's just that shift from...
So you're saying that you can expand your area, you can expand your house, but not the luxury.
Beautiful. That's absolutely what I mean, yeah. There was a great saying about luxury. Some philosopher actually relates striving for luxury to poverty, something like that. There is. So, if you don't think you are satisfied with what comforts you have, it's kind of a poverty consciousness, right? Wanting more,
mm-hmm.
Not feeling that I have enough luxury or enough comfort, wanting more, then you expand out bigger and bigger sofas and.
It's never enough. Luxury is never enough,
right? Yeah. It relates to that desire thing, you know. You know, desire is like an itch. That kind of desire, wanting more and more of the same thing kind of desire, it's kind of an itch. When you have an itch, you scratch it, right? What happens? There's more itching. You scratch more. You got more itching. The itching never goes away by scratching. Desire is kind of like that. You know? And so we, once and for all, abandon the desire. Especially contentment is very important for spiritual practitioners. We are sitting in meditation, and if we are not content in general with life as it is, what happens? Wanting this, wanting that, becoming this, becoming that, all those desires will flood the mind. The desires, the wanting will flood the mind, the becoming tendency will flood the mind. It may not be just the money issue, or even the health, you know. I want to be healthier, I want to be more beautiful, I want more publicity, or I want more this and that, I want to become a New York Times bestseller, and all that becoming tendency, that wantingness, that goes away when we cultivate the attitude of contentment. And contentment doesn't mean complacency. So you are happy with what you have right now, as it is. And then you want to go higher. You see? So striving for excellence, the foundation for striving for excellence should be contentment, not a sense of inadequacy or a sense of lacking. That is the whole point. But there is a difference between having a higher goal versus a heavier goal. Right? Mm-hmm. From million to 10 to 100 is like having a heavier goal rather than a higher goal. You see? We can have higher goals only if we are content. Contentment has to do with expansion, not accumulation. Please contemplate on that. Just that one point. Accumulation versus expansion. I think that summarizes pretty much what contentment is all about.
Here's what's coming up for me. You know, when the Buddha sat under the tree and said, I'm not going to move from this spot until I have it.
Right.
Was he feeling desire or craving, or was he feeling pain? Or see, it's what is it that pushes us to that higher state?
That is called the will. Will, or other word is non-desire. We have talked about this. There is desire, there is no desire, and then there is something higher, which is called non-desire. It's related to will. So it is the will that facilitates such an action, not a desire. There is that subtle difference. In desire, you have a sense of craving, meaning inadequacy, a sense of inadequacy, a sense of wanting. But in non-desire, there is contentment. And then there is a will to go higher. Because we are hardwired for evolution, right? We are hardwired to go higher and higher. It's just that, that's why there is a saying, employ the will, fire the desire. Have you heard that one? Because in the whole pursuit of desire begins with a sense of inadequacy or wanting, which is totally different than non-desire. It's all us. You can actually figure out, experientially know, whether you are pursuing a desire or whether you are pursuing a non-desire. You know? Whenever there is desire behind an action, you will always feel, and we have done the meditation where we learn to feel the bodily sensations, right? Moving your attention from top to bottom, bottom to top, feeling what is happening within the embodiment, right? So whenever there is desire in the mind, it will always manifest as subtle restlessness in the embodiment. You will feel a sense of restlessness, lack of ease, when there is desire. In fact, there are also physiological and physical manifestations also, like shortness of breath, you know, even dryness in your throat. You experience that, even the tightening of the jaws and things like that. Now, if you are in a state of non-desire, there is always that sense of ease, relaxation. So, that's the difference. There is something called restlessometer. We all have that in us, you know. If you just keep an eye on your degree of restlessness, you will know whether the desire is behind the action or it's the will, or you could say non-desire. So Buddha was driven by will, not by desire. That's what I would say. The simplest way to figure out what is happening is to be in touch with your feelings, sensations. Yeah. Very simple. Even the movement of your breath. If the breath is short, you know, there is something not right. You're driven by desire or wanting. And there is this ancient master, he said, those who want more than they need never enjoy what they have.
Yeah.
Basically, counting your blessings, the way we develop the attitude of contentment is counting your blessings, a very powerful one.
Mm-hmm.
Not comparing, not competing. Those two are really the big ones why we don't experience contentment. Comparing and competing, big ones. So not competing, but being content. Mr. Jones has a 3-bedroom house with 3-car garage. I also want one. That's comparing. You will never be content when you have a 3-car garage. Because there is another Mr. Smith who has a
4-car garage.
Like I said, the itch. No matter how much you scratch it, it's not going to go away. It's going to increase. In fact, it will start bleeding soon. But anyways, the way we develop the attitude of contentment is counting your blessings, not competing, not comparing, gladness, big one, drawing joy from others' successes, big one for me at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then last but not the least, meditation. Always, you know, because all these are still superficial practices. Because ultimately, we are not content because there is that fundamental unwholesome element in the consciousness. It's called greed. See? And if you want to completely, thoroughly, entirely be established in contentment, then the only way is to eradicate that greed. And greed is so deep that it's in the realm of consciousness, not just thoughts. And so we practice meditation. And so the way we do it is, anytime we try to do something, we check the corresponding physical sensations, whether it is driven by desire or whether it is driven by will, you know. When you feel a sense of unease, when you feel a sense of restlessness, maybe some dryness in your throat or tightness of your jaws or faster breathing, whatever it may be, you realize that your actions are being driven by desire. You know? Allow that desire to arise and cease. Not suppress the desire. That thought, that desire, let it come and go. Don't give it energy. It will come and go. You know? Everything should be driven by willpower, not by desire.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. Because when you're established in real will, it's actually an egoless state of mind.
Right.
It really is. That's why we talked about expansion versus accumulation or centeredness, self-centeredness. You know? But ultimately that's the goal, and we reach that through meditation practices.
Right.
So as you allow the desires to come and go, eventually you will empty the stock. The will start developing, the willpower will be cultivated. Slowly the greed, you will eradicate the greed. To the extent we eradicate greed, to that extent we eradicate the ego. Greed is like the glue that creates the ego. You know, what is the ego? It's basically all these unwholesome thoughts that are glued together by greed. Okay, phenomenologically speaking, greed is that glue which creates this mental formation of separate self. So, you eradicate the greed, the ego automatically is eradicated.
Dissolves.
You're dissolved.